Welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast by Doxa Church in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated from one another physically, we are reading, studying, and praying the Psalms together each morning as a way to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down, get a bigger picture of God, and hopefully a more clear picture of ourselves. But most of all, we want to join ourselves together around the throne of the One who has joined Himself to us. So if you haven't already, grab a Bible and spend some time prayerfully reading Psalm 125. We continue through the Psalms of Ascent in Psalm 125, which says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." This psalm is packed with truths that should lead us to peace. Trusting in God brings security. How often do we crave security and yet search for it everywhere else but in God, who alone brings lasting security? The security he offers isn't always the kind we most deeply desire, but is the security that we need. This week, I finished reading Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas. It's the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor, spy, theologian, and a vocal anti-Nazi dissident. He was involved in an assassination attempt on Hitler, and later put in various prisons and concentration camps. As he was leading a church service at one concentration camp, the guards grabbed him with plans to end his life. And his parting words to his friends who were imprisoned with him were, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." H. Fisher Holstrom, the doctor at Bonhoeffer's last concentration camp, wrote of his experience witnessing Bonhoeffer's last few minutes of life when he said, "Through the half-open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer. Before taking off his prison garb, he was kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer, and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I've hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. He was likely hanged as a result of a direct decree from Hitler himself. He was killed 2 weeks prior to the Allies arriving at his concentration camp and 3 weeks prior to Hitler's suicide. Any who read the books he authored can tell that he deeply trusted in the Lord and was not moved in any way, even though it cost him his life. All who crossed paths with him were challenged, including the prison and concentration camp guards. It's said that he was very happy during the whole time a prisoner knew him, as he did a great deal to keep some of the weaker brethren from depression and anxiety. Prior to his imprisonment, in one of his sermons, he said, 'No one has yet believed in God and the kingdom of God. No one has yet heard about the realm of the resurrected and not been homesick from that hour, waiting and looking forward joyfully to being released from bodily existence. Death is hell and night is cold, if it is not transformed by our faith. But that is just what is so marvelous, that we can transform death.'" Bonhoeffer knew that trusting in God would bring him security eternally. The rest of the psalm describes what we see experienced through Bonhoeffer's life and death. He didn't allow a scepter of wickedness, crooked men, or evildoers to get away with their evil without confronting them and speaking and seeking to pursue God's heart for justice. Yes, it cost him his life, but Bonhoeffer got to experience the answer to the psalmist's prayers, as God did do good to Bonhoeffer, as he did good himself and pursued an upright life. Romans 8:28 tells us that God works every single thing together for the good of those who love him. If you get to meet Bonhoeffer in heaven, I have a feeling he'd want to talk with you about how God defines good differently than we do. I think he'd also share that his hanging was a good thing due to his God who eternally surrounds and cares for his people. Throughout Scripture, we find that God goes before us, behind us, carries us, and holds us by our hand. I think Bonhoeffer experienced that. And in this psalm, we also get to see that God surrounds us. In a battle, it's strategic for military to be surrounded by mountains, as they provide shelter and make it difficult for enemies to have access to them. God, too, is our shelter and makes it difficult for our enemies to have access to us without his granting them permission to do so. The security found in God is also evidenced through any wicked leader only having temporary rule. No matter who you hope will win the election this fall, our hope has to be in God. Reading stories about many of the Old Testament rulers has often discouraged me over the years, but yet, even with the most wicked rulers in power, God was still in control, on his throne ruling as the ultimate king, and brought good out of their evil actions. But all of their times as rulers never lasted. God is our eternal king who deserves all our trust. The psalmist knows this about God's character and as a result prays that he would do good to those who are good and upright. It's interesting to note that he doesn't pray for the wicked to be turned aside. He knows that's what God will do. He takes God at his word and continues to seek the Lord, but trusts that he will keep his promises. God's rejection of the crooked and evil men helps us feel secure as well, just as does God giving peace to his people. So what are you trusting in today? Where is your hope and expectation? I urge you to trust in the God who loves you immensely, so much so that he sent his only son to become a man who lived a sinless life. His innocent son died a horrid death in your place and mine, and was raised from the dead. Because of this, all who trust in his son get to have a relationship with him for all of eternity, be beautifully cared for, be protected and unable to be moved, no matter what they face in life, when their trust is in him. This trust brings unexplainable peace, which the psalmist prayed for, and I hope you're experiencing that peace today. Please pray with me. Oh, Father, thank you so much that we just have the privilege of knowing you and that, yeah, you're a God who can be trusted. Thank you for giving us the faith to believe that you are who you say you are. Father, would we be a church family that just isn't really moved or shaken by anything because our trust in you is so deep? God, we confess that in 2020, there are so many things that seem frustrating and just make it hard to trust you because it feels like with you being in control that things just aren't going well at times. But God, I pray that we would trust in spite of that because you are a God who keeps his promises. Thank you for surrounding us. Thank you for giving us confidence and security. Thank you that the wicked aren't going to be in leadership forever. Thank you too that, yeah, you do bless those who pursue good and upright lives. Thank you too that those who turn aside to their crooked ways will be done away with. Thank you, Lord, that you give us peace. So God, we rest in you. We want our security and hope to be in you. And just thank you for the overwhelming peace that comes when that is the case. In Jesus' name, amen.